Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. This is the moment journalists around the world have been waiting for. Introducing first, in a red corner, he is a judge, weighing in the broken dreams of a Tron player, Nixa Valudel Terratron. And in the blue corner, a mixed magic artist, weighing in nothing but hot air and illusions of grandeur, Igor, Reanimator Mishra Harad!
Well, here we are back again. Finally, some Dirtle has decided to come back from a vacation. Dirtle, who are you?
Nixa. But it wasn't really a vacation, so a vacation, but alright. Whatever.
It was basically you stranded away from technology and spoilers for a week.
Well, I had to do some physical laboring, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what I call a prison sentence, yeah. No spoilers, physical work.
I did see spoilers at some points of the day.
Woo!
So it wasn't all that bad.
So, by the way, this is Igor. So, Nixa, did you actually get to play some Magic Ore for the Commander of the Week segment?
Nope.
Wow. So your Commander of the Week is manual labor.
Yeah.
Good times. Well, yeah.
I mean, I did have a modern tournament, but there's nothing really to talk about it. I just came to the conclusion that Huntmaster of the Fells is not a good idea in mid-range Tron.
Well, the more you know, I guess. Now, what are you going to replace it with? Ulrich? I had to say that.
No, I'm thinking about... I'm going to actually replace it with a card that was spoiled this week.
Then we'll mention it when we get to it, I guess.
Sure.
I don't even know what card that is, actually, so I'm actually quite curious. And for my Commander of the Week, again, Alesha, but I'll put the links in the... show description. It got featured on CMDR decks, so you can find it on the Gathering Magic as well. So I got kind of internet famousy. But you can find the link in the show notes. And I think we should go straight to the meat of it. Straight to the spoilers.
Yeah.
Nixa, I think the first spoiler on the Mythic spoiler page, you need to clear it. It's your spoiler.
Overwatch company.
No, Diplomat.
Not Overwatch, Gatewatch, the Super Friends company.
Yes, that.
So, we're going to start with Deploy the Gatewatch, which is a sorcery for 4 and 2 white. You look at the top 7 cards of your library, and you put up to 2 Planeswalker cards from among them onto the battlefield. And you put the rest of the cards on the bottom of your library in any order. So, yeah, it's a collected company for Planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sorcery speed.
Which you don't actually mind that much, because you want to use those abilities straight away.
Yeah, unless you have, you know...
Teferi's Emblem?
Teferi's Emblem. But, so this goes, obviously, into a heavy Super Friends deck.
Really?
Commander, because you just... Because you have to get 2 walkers in those top 7 cards. But, yeah, if I were still playing Super Friends, I'd definitely play this.
Yeah, you know what I love about this card? It doesn't exile itself or something stupid like that.
Well, yeah, it doesn't really do anything too broken.
They're always so careful with Planeswalkers, so I'm always skeptical.
Well, yeah, they should, because they're the reason creatures went, you know, above and beyond.
And they're also the reason why doubling season is so good.
Yeah.
So but I like the flavor text as well. Gideon and Liliana may have not seen eye to eye, but that did not stop them from fighting side by side, and they're just punching stuff. Actually, well, Liliana is punching stuff,
Liliana is
posing.
Yawning.
Yeah, she's seen it all. Next card, I'm actually, the more I thought about it, the more I get actually excited by it, and you're still kind of meh. Mind's Dilation, for 5 and a blue. It's an enchantment. Whenever Mind's Dilation.
Hello?
You hear me? Do you hear me?
Yeah, mine's there.
So, whenever an opponent casts his or her first spell each turn, that player exiles the top card of his or her library. If it's an unland card, you may cast it without paying its mana cost.
Then it's 5 and double blue for an enchantment.
Yeah, I read that. But you don't like it for some reason.
I don't, because it's too limiting. I mean, it's just the first spell they cast each turn. Then they reveal a land. Then it's like nothing happens.
But what if they reveal something broken?
But you're paying 7 mana for that. For, you know, having an enchantment that's going to have more impact than...
Thought they broke our backs! Ha!
So basically, you've seen what Lurking Predations does to a game of EDH.
Oh, you mean Lurking Predator?
Yeah.
Predators. Yeah, I know that.
But this is like that, you're only taxing their deck, not building around it.
Yeah, but some people have, you know, Sensei's Divining Top.
Yeah.
Then it's a useless card.
If they have it. That's one of the 99.
Unless you trick them into putting it on top of their library in response to the Mind's Dilation trigger.
Or you can just play things like Null Rod or something like that, just to screw with them.
It's like, I play Mind's Dilation, okay, I'm going to play a spell now, and in response to the trigger, I'm going to look at the top 3, and then in response to that, I mean, not even to in response to that, after they resolve it, you kill their top, and then they have the option to either save it and give it to you, or you kill it. And they reveal a land because you're not getting any.
I don't know, I like this card. I think I'll get a copy or two of that.
The thing is, when I first saw it, I skipped over this, the first spell each turn.
Yep.
And immediately I thought about, you know, a really annoying card for Mono Blue Tron.
But it's
but
not...
But it's just the first spell, it's not worth it at all.
Depending on how many bombs and how much deck manipulation they have, that's the thing.
Still not worth it, because it might turn out to be, I don't know, a counterspell, and then you don't... Oh, wait! The counterspell actually counters the spell they're playing.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, oh, alright.
So not that bad.
I guess. But still, not good enough, because it's just the first spell, so they have to just survive that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, they're safe for the rest of the turn.
Yeah, and they might play a really crappy first spell, which isn't, again, that bad, because they can be playing crappy spell, you won't, you know, counter that crappy spell.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if they cast a good or bad spell.
I'm talking more about the counter spell example.
Yeah, but this is still, like, it's still completely random and unreliable.
Which is basically what EDH should be all about.
Yeah, but still, it's just...
Speaking of things that are completely unreliable and meh in EDH, let's talk about the next spoiler.
Yeah?
Liliana.
Oh.
Read her up.
So Liliana, the Last Hope, is 1 in double black for 3 loyalty.
Sounds familiar.
Planeswalker, so it's just like Liliana of the Veil. For +1, up to 1 target creature gets -2/-1 until your next turn. -2... You mill yourself for 3.
2.
You mill yourself for 2, and then return a creature card from your graveyard to your hand. And -7, you just get an emblem that says...
Endless Strength of the Dead.
Yeah,
+2.
So you get, at the beginning of each end step, you get zombies equal to the amount of zombies you control, +2. 2-2 zombies.
Yeah. I mean, in EDH, this isn't that much,
Yeah, the +1 does nothing.
It kills a token, woo!
Oh, Prosh sacrifices it.
Basically, yes. proper formats like Modern and Standard, this could see play.
Standard, definitely, because purely because it's a 3-mana Planeswalker.
And she actually does stuff.
Yeah, she actually cripples, if not kills, some guys for +1. -2 is actually really cool draw engine, because you don't, since you don't target a creature in your graveyard, they can't in response exile a creature. They can exile a creature and then you just take another one.
Yeah, plus, they take a guess.
They can't do that, but plus you still get those two cards which they cannot target because it's in the middle of a resolution, so they can't touch her at that point. So if those two cards you drop, there's something good, they can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Unless they have Leyline of the Void.
However, in EDH... Eh?
You get to use your -2 once and that's about it.
I mean, she's not that threatening in any shape or form, so...
No.
Even
EDH, with, definitely not.
Even with doubling seasons, still...
she can't even
she
use
can't
her
do ultimate. An ultimate, nope.
And her ultimate is also a bit lackluster. I mean, what? You're getting zombies. Oh, no.
It's not that bad, actually. You know, because it's an emblem, you keep on getting zombies all the time. So not
you
a
know,
lot of messing.
You know what? Let her get, like, 1,000 zombies, and then you cast your Fog or something like that, Moment's Peace, and then you drop your Massacre Worm and make her cry.
Either that or Blood Artist. And then kill everything.
Yeah, whatever. You just...
Kill her.
A 2-2 two zombies are... a liability sometimes.
Depending what you do with them.
Yeah.
I mean, they can give you a lot of mana with Ashen's Altar.
Or they can give you a lot of cards.
Yes.
With our new spoiler.
Hmm. Do you want to jump right in that, or do you want to go card by card?
Yeah, go ahead.
A Crypt Breaker for one mana. For one black. It's a 1/1. It's a zombie. One black can tap, discard a card, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield. So far, so good. It's a discard outlet. Tap 3 untapped zombies you control, draw a card, and you lose 1 life.
It's just, you know, this is the card Relentless Dead was waiting for.
Mm-hmm. It's his buddy.
Yeah, it's his best buddy.
Also, just to get back on Liana, you know who loves her emblem?
Endless Ranks of the Dead?
I mean, yeah, but Gravecrawler. He definitely has a buddy to come back to the play with.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and Grimgrin always has something to eat.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So, if you're playing Grimgrin, I guess, add this. If you're in a pinch and have this on the side, why not? Crypt Breaker. He's a fun zombie card.
It's a really good zombie card.
Are you playing Zombie Tribal? There you go.
You have a relevant card that's relevant during the whole game.
Yep, and it's a 1-1 for one mana.
Yeah.
What more can you ask for?
Well, it can also make you pie, but you can't have all.
Oh, well. I mean, the problem is it's such a simple card, and it does a lot, but, you know, it's really simple. So what else can you say about it? You'll draw cards. You lose some life, but who cares?
It's like, I've seen people like say that Crypt Breaker is too slow for an aggro zombie deck, but I don't think that you're supposed to play aggro zombie decks anymore. In standard or modern or something, I don't know. In standard, you don't play zombies. Aggro. Zombies. This is like a pure value card.
Yes, it's a value. You just grind value with it.
I mean, and Relentless Dead. they're great again.
Yeah, they were always great in my mind. But the thing about this card, it's there's a lot of cards that are good that are also zombies, and you can just grind value slowly, winning the game.
Yeah, and it's a discard outlet.
Yeah, that's also
gives you bodies.
Mm-hmm. And that gets you cards because of those sad bodies.
It's just a really good card.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what there is to say about it.
Yeah, if you're playing zombies in any form in EDH, get this guy because, yeah, it's good. What's the next card you want to discuss?
Well, you at some point while we were talking, you mentioned Ulfric. Let's talk about a better commander that people were probably waiting for.
Oh,
I don't really know.
People were actually asking for this tribe general.
Yeah, but not me.
Read it, you disappointed man.
I'm not disappointed. It's just unexpected. I didn't expect. So, Ishkana, Graf Widow, is a 4 and a green for a 3/5 legendary creature spider.
Woo!
It has reach and delirium that says that when you have the 4 card types, blah blah blah, in your graveyard, when Graf Widow enters the battlefield, you put 3 1/2 green spider creature tokens with reach onto the battlefield. And for 6 and a black, target opponent loses 1 life for each spider you control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know what, this is similar to how they made Tazri, because people wanted a 5 color ally creature, but that wasn't 5 colors herself. And so they made General Tazri that was purely white to cast, but had a 5 color ability,
mm-hmm.
which is perfect. And similar with Ishkana Graf Widow. She's.
They did the same thing with Khans in Fated Forge.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But I think that General Tazri was, like, strictly a commander card.
Oh, well. You want to know
it
what's.
It was just made to be a commander.
You want to know what's alt included in this deck? Spider spawning!
Yeah, make Ishkana's ability not deal 1 damage.
I mean, you're not going to be dealing. If you're playing a tribal spiders, which most likely are, because why wouldn't you? you'll have spiders spawning, a lot of spiders, and just basically turtling up and draining people.
And the ability is basically here to give it black.
Yeah.
Without the card becoming black.
Plus, it's nice that she's green, because, you know, you get a lot of mana ramps, so this 7 mana, you could possibly use it twice in a turn. It's not unreal. Then it will be twice a turn. Yeah. Anything else you want to add about Ishkana?
I might try it out in Modern.
Of course you will. Why wouldn't you?
I mean...
It's unique.
Actually, no. You know, it's like Thragtusk is still better.
Of course it is, Thragtusk.
But Ishkana blocks flyers.
You just want to play Ishkana for the cool factor, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you cut one track task and put one of this in your Tron deck, you can just do it for style point.
Yeah, definitely. Then just drain people for 1, if I ever get the black mana out.
You will. You just put one of those green-black dual lands.
No, I put in Urborg.
Oh, that's also a thing. That's
because
actually much better.
Then Urborg can have another function, and that is to turn their non-basic lands into swamps, so my Sundering Titan can kill something of that.
That's also a thing.
Yeah.
Also how they're playing Sundering Titan.
Let's move on. Well...
Well, before we move on, just gotta say one more thing that's completely random. Ishkana sounds like a really metal band name.
And you know what? It sounds really spidery.
Yeah. Ishkana. But let's move to a spoiler that really warms my heart. Now, Nahiri's Wrath. For 2 and red, it's a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast Nahiri's Wrath, discard X cards. Oh no, poor me. Now, Nahiri's Wrath deals damage equal to the total converted mana cost of discarded cards to each up to X target creatures and or planeswalkers. You brought this upon yourself, Sorin. Basically, you don't piss off a crazy bitch like Nahiri.
Yeah, but... Oh no, the Wambulance.
Wow, this card did so much damage already.
So, yeah, it's a form of mass removal?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You fill your graveyard, you kill all of their dudes and or planeswalkers. Once they're not alive.
You kill only the amount you discard.
Yeah, but they're converted mana cost. You just throw big dudes.
You can... Oh, in your Alesha, you can just toss those 5 or 6 mana 2-power guys.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Graveyard and...
Either that, or if you're playing some kind of Grixis Reanimator or Rakdos Reanimator deck.
Deal like 15 damage to 3 targets.
Or if they're playing tokens, just kill all of them.
No, you can kill just a few, because you can only deal that damage to X target creatures, and X is the number of cards you discard.
Yeah, that's the point. Depending on the size of your hand, I guess.
It's good against Super Friends, because you can kill 3 Planeswalkers just off the bat.
Just like that. Or if they're having, some kind of 0-13, like that tree that got spoiled recently. Oh, it's a 040 now. Guess I'll still kill it, if you discard enough things.
So, what is this we're talking about?
Oh, we talked about that last week, but we'll mention it again. Yeah, Tree of Perdition. For 3 and a black, it's a defender. Exchange target opponent's life total with Tree of Perdition. I just gotta say, Vati Ildal is the best guy with this. Do you know what?
Yes, bro.
So for you guys who don't know who Vati Ildal is, you can just tap him to make target creatures power of toughness base 1. So you make Tree of Perdition's toughness 1 until the end of turn, and just swap life total with its toughness.
Oh no.
Yeah. A lot of player isn't going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Which is good because he was playing Oloro, so he deserves a kick in the nuts. What's the next thing you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about more potential commanders in Gisela the Broken Blade and Bruna the Fading Light.
We already did that last week. But you
because we just got a new mechanic.
We talked about that last week, but please go on ahead.
Didn't?
Yes, we... okay, you and I didn't, but me and Joe did. The guy we
had.
Yep.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Shame on you.
Okay, so you'll just have to...
Bear long.
Warn me about cards you talked about.
Okay.
But still, I'm just going to give my 2 cents and say that I will try to get a house rule to allow having just both Gisela and Bruna as the commander. You know, 2 commanders.
Yeah.
So you can get Brucella. Because you want to have Brucella as your commander, right?
Yep, because she deals the general damage just as normally as either of the 2 halves.
Yeah. Then I'm going to go to... You know what? I'm just going to talk about that thing I would... I'm going to really try in my green, in my red-green Tron deck, and that's Permeating Mass.
It's so good. It's just stupid, but it's so good.
It's so... Okay, so Permeating Mass is a 1/3 creature spirit for 1 green mana that says whenever Permeating Mass deals combat damage to a creature, that creature becomes a copy of Permeating Mass. So it's so basically the card is self-explanatory. You just turn everything into Permeating Masses, and then those things turn the rest everything into Permeating Mass. It just goes on.
You know what's the best deck for this creature? Azuri Claw of Progress. Because your guy becomes huge with Azuri, and it blocks other people, or attacks other people, they block with their creatures, and those Permeating Masses die.
Yeah.
I'm getting that for Azuri, definitely.
And another great thing is equipping it with Grappling Hook.
I just love Grappling Hook.
So you can just Permeating Mass attacks. Oh, look, you don't want to block with your commander. Well,
that sucks.
It's a shame, really, because he's going to block.
One way
and
or
then
another.
The commander blocks, and then since it has Double Strike, you turn it into Permeating Mass, and then Permeating Mass deals damage to your Permeating Mass.
And then it becomes a Permeating Mass.
Or you know, a huge combat step where there are like 10 blockers and attackers and everything, and then just somebody mirror weaves your a Permeating Mass. Then everything's a Permeating.
I want to do that so much.
And I'm going to go ahead and try 4 of these in a Tron deck.
Just because you can, right?
Yeah, it blocks, it efficiently blocks a lot of early aggro creatures. It's 1 mana for a 1/3.
Yeah, it has a big butt for a 1 mana creature.
But the funny part will be when I give them a lot of Permeating Masses and I slam in a Ulamog and attack with it. And then it becomes a Permeating Mass.
You know what's good when you have enough Permeating Masses on the battlefield you don't want them anymore? Sever the Bloodline. Do you remember that card?
Yeah. There's a cheaper way.
Is there?
Yeah. If you're playing blue, you can Echoing Truth.
Yeah, that's also a point. Or if you have is the static caster with Dead Touch.
That too.
Permeating Mass is the best. Yeah. Permeating Mass is the best.
Permeating Mass, yeah.
Just the best. Wanna keep on drooling over Permeating Master? No,
that's enough.
Let's go to one card I really like. Summary Dismissal, 2 and a blue-blue. Instant, exile all other spells and counter all abilities. Let's start fresh, shall we? It's just so good. You're playing against Storm, it's really good if somebody's triggering some stupid ability you don't like.
Yeah, but I don't think those are the situations this card really shines, because against Storm you have Counterflux and Mindbreak Trap, right?
Yeah, and plus a Storm. This is just one more tool to fight against that if you have that in your meta.
But this card completely counters Emrakul's.
Yep.
It completely counters Eldrazi Titans.
Yep.
And I don't like that.
Why not?
Because, no. The whole point of my Titans was that I get to get an effect, and you can still counter it, but I still got my effect, so it's a win-win, right?
Yeah, but this guy used the science cannon against it, so, you know.
The science cannon again.
Yes, it's unstoppable. Just like the Ornithopter, sooner or later on each plane you're going to have a scientist with a science cannon.
Yes. Yeah, and you can also... It also counters annoying Planeswalker ultimates.
Mm-hmm. It also counters, let's say, Prosh's ability when he comes into play.
Fuck you.
That was my girlfriend really being upset over the card.
No, Prosh is also on cast, so you can completely counter Prosh. Yay!
That's really good. See why I like this card? You want to talk about the dragon now?
Yeah, sure.
Dragon's a bro. He's a real bro.
So Mirror Wing Dragon is a 3 and red, double red, 4/5 creature dragon with flying.
He's pretty.
And it has, whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery spell that targets only Mirror Wing Dragon, that player copies that spell for each other creature he or she controls that the spell could target. Each copy targets a different one of those creatures. So, we had these kinds of effects before, like when you creatures that when they are targeted, they copy that spell for each possible target. But this one is like,
please don't kill me. If you do kill me, you know what's one piece of enchantment you have to run with this card? Coalition Flag. Do you know what that does?
Isn't that the thing that targets only flag bearers?
No, enchanted creature is a flag bearer.
Oh.
So they have to target it. Path to Exile, oh no.
Oh no, yeah.
Flag bearers are the best thing ever in Magic.
Alright, okay. So yeah, it's also... So if your opponent has a board advantage, if your opponent has a board at all, they can't kill Mirror Wing Dragon because they risk killing their board as well, but you can pump your Mirror Wing Dragon and pump your board.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
It goes both ways and it's beautiful that way.
It definitely is.
Oh no, I'm going to... Basically, it's Zada the Hedron Grinder on a dragon body.
And better.
Yeah.
Since you can, like, redirect an opponent's pump spell. But, you know, their pump spell will just pump their board.
As well.
Yeah, this can actually, like, work against you at some points.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't matter. I don't think it should.
You know what's a non-bow with this? I give my dragon hexproof. Good job.
But why?
Just so you're like, you can't target him, so that's a non-bow. That's what I'm saying. It's a non.
Don't do that. If you give it hexproof, yeah, it kind of be...
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're totally doing it wrong. But yeah, dragon can do fun things. I'll think we should talk about the Dark Salvation now. It would spoil today, so... X and a black. It's a sorcery. Target player puts X2/2 black zombie creature tokens onto the battlefield. Then up to one target creature gets -1/-1 and until the end of turn for each zombie that player controls. Countless ghouls searched through Traven's streets, and with them came the city's salvation. You know what's going to suck? Just that one game. you'll dump so much mana into Dark Salvation and someone is going to cast Misdirection.
Yeah, that's like... that's going to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't like this card at all.
I like flavor-wise. Now, as a Magic card that exists in Magic the Gathering, eh?
I mean, yeah, in two-headed games you can give your ally...
Yeah, that's it.
...zombies, but... I mean, if, you know, if this was an instant...
Yeah.
I would just Dark Salvation and then end of turn. I give somebody their salvation in form of lots and lots of zombies.
And then Massacre?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Massacre Room is the best. Yeah. I mean, it could have been instant because it's a double X spell.
And you're giving... You have a choice of giving yourself or your opponent.
Yeah.
The zombies. But there was that instant speed, get a lot of zombies.
Yeah.
It was that delve spell.
Oh yeah, that never did anything.
And that was instant speed, but it also put them tapped as far as I remember.
I mean, it wouldn't be that dangerous even if this came untapped. If they can tap and tap, it would be the same if it's instant.
Yeah, it was really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
This is also really expensive.
Yeah. I mean, in EDH, if you're playing mono black, you really shouldn't be having trouble with your mana. Oh, look, Coffers, Urborg, boom.
Mm. Yeah, I don't see the point of
it. It's basically they're showing a flavorful moment in the story, I think.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't care anymore, yeah.
Yeah.
Wanna talk about the Devil Horror thingy? The Chaos Reveler.
Oh.
He's interesting.
Yeah, he is. So, Chaos Reveler is... A 6 and double red. This is also a translation. I don't think there is on English yet, right?
There is. Chaos. I mean, you have it on the Mindic spoiler. Official card on English hasn't been...
but I'm just reading a translation. So.
Yeah.
So for 6 and double red, it's a 3-4 Devil Horror with prowess. And it costs 1 mana less to cast for each instant or sorcery card in your graveyard.
Woohoo!
So you can easily get this out for just double red.
More often than not, it's going to be like 4 mana, but it'll be good. Even for 4 mana, and this is a good thing.
When Chaos Reveler enters the battlefield, discard your hand, then draw 3 cards.
Mm.
So it's just perfect for those situations where you dump all of the burn spells from your hand into somebody's face, and then you bust in Chaos Reveler for 2 mana, and draw 3 cards.
You know what I also like about this? It's not when you cast him. So even if you reanimate this guy, you're still going to, you know, reap benefits.
And it has prowess, so...
Which is good when you cast a lot of instances.
Yeah.
And it by the way, you know what's the best thing about this card? On the side, on Mythic Spoiler comment, the top comment is, okay, team, we need to signify that this creature is really scary. Any ideas? Well, it's red. Make it the devil. You weren't listening, Jenkins. Really scary! Devil Horror? Jenkins, you're a goddamn genius.
Well, yeah, since it got tentacles.
Tentacles. Wow. Okay, that's the song for the outro, by the way. I'll send you it later, but it's tentacles. Tentacles. What's the next thing that piqued your interest?
Have you talked about Docent of Perfection?
We sadly have, yes. We wanted you to be there because, you know... by the way, the thing I mentioned last week, read his flavor text.
Yeah, time has come for him to share his findings.
You know what happened? He got peer-reviewed in a science journal. Yay! And then everybody started using his method when he flips.
Yeah, it's just... I didn't think there would be more.
You didn't think it would be a trilogy, did you?
No. It was like perfected form, so what comes after his... final form. It was like, that wasn't his final form.
You know what's the fourth part? It'll be him, but with the science cannon. You'll see.
So yeah, when he flips, he makes Delvers.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
And also, Azami likes it really, really much. Like, really much. What's the next thing you want to talk about? Maybe Kamehameha? AKA United Resistance?
Yeah, the whole resistance cycle. Was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So read the Resistance.
So, United Resistance is a 1 and double red sorcery with Escalate 1. So you pay one more for each mode chosen beyond the first. So you can choose one or more. Target player discards all cards in his or her hand, then draws that many cards. United Resistance deals 4 damage to target creature, or it deals 3 damage to target opponent.
I like all of those options.
Yeah, it's a really flexible card, and I see it actually being played.
Yep, in a lot of formats.
Because it does a lot. I mean, for 4 mana, it kills a thing and deals 3 damage.
Or you draw, you know, a new hand, if you didn't like the hand you were having, and then just kill something.
Or that, yeah. Or everything.
Yeah, it's a really good spell. You can even play it in EDH and you wouldn't mind it, if you're playing mono red.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The other collective things are also good, like Collective Brutality.
Just like the name.
That's 1 and a black sorcery with Escalate, discard a card. So you discard a card for more modes. And you can have target opponent reveal his or her hand and choose an instant or sorcery card from it and discard that card. Or give a creature -2/-2. Or target opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life.
So basically you can sin prod them, you can just -2/-2 something, or drain them for 2.
Or all of it.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you're just doing one thing for 2 mana, it's really good.
Yeah.
Are there any other collective things?
Yeah, but nothing to... I mean, the white one is also okay.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. It's actually really good.
And it's an instant.
Yeah, that's the best part. I mean, it wouldn't work as a sorcery, to be honest.
So, I guess you covered Thalia's Lancers.
Yes, and it's such a good goddamn card.
So I'm just going to switch to US spoilers so I can see what you didn't cover.
Okay.
Oh, we have Spell Queller.
What does he do?
This guy is interesting, and you talk about it.
I can't currently fight him, so you're going to have to talk about him.
Okay. Spell Queller is a 1 and a white and a blue.
Ah, oh, that guy.
Spirit, 2/3, with flash and flying.
Holy crap, that's good.
When it enters the battlefield, exile target spell with converted mana cost 4 or less. And when Spell Queller leaves the battlefield, the exiled card's owner may cast that card without paying its mana cost.
You know what's the first thing I notice? It's 2 separate triggers! You know what we can do with that?
Oh my god!
Yep! And people are going to do that, you know.
I know.
Just come back.
Oh man.
Yeah, but this is really good.
Okay. Okay. Oh, like we needed a reason to make... Wait, does it work?
Does what work?
You know that guy, Eldrazi Displacer.
Oh, but he exiles the spell, not... Oh yeah, but when he enters the battlefield, oh yeah, Displacer could work with this one.
Yeah, but he immediately returns it to the battlefield tapped, so you still target that spell.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work.
I mean, it works in the scenario I gave you.
Yeah. So
it is in white and blue, the colors that blink a lot, so you know...
So, this should work, like I said. So you cast it, you target their spell, in response you blink it with Displacer, but the trigger doesn't go, because you still have to resolve the Displacer, so Spell Queller still enters the battlefield and targets that spell again. But then the trigger resolves, but...
What are you trying to do, actually?
But it's a different entity, so... So Eldrazi Displacer just doesn't work. Doesn't do anything.
That's the point, yes.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the point.
Glad we took like 30 seconds of your time, dear listeners. Oh, you know what's a card that's really not good to play in EDH? Providence, at least for the first mode. 5 white.
Wait, Providence?
Yeah. You may reveal this card from your opening hand. If you do, at the beginning of your first upkeep, your life total becomes 26. Don't do this in EDH.
Actually, don't even put this card in your deck in EDH.
I mean, there are some uses for it. Like, discard a card, and then it does its damage equal to its converted mana cost. That's how you do it. This is good when Nahiri's right, I guess.
Somehow force somebody else to cast it.
That's also an option.
I don't know how.
You cast this, then they use the spirit we just talk about to exile it, and then when it leaves, you may cast this, but then you choose not to. And then you ask yourself, why did I even play this in my deck? Want to talk about the real card? Real-ish card. How about the...
Wait, I just remembered. Spell Queller, you can process the cards you exile with it.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Oh, okay.
That's a good
now, thing. You can displace the processors.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Are they when you cast them or when they enter the battlefield?
Some are... I can't remember.
I think they're cast because Eldrazi.
Yeah, but I think there are some that are on the enter the battlefield. No. Oh, no. That doesn't work. Oh, no.
Oh, no. You had so much value, now you want to staple even more value. Poor you.
Oh, no. Oh, well, it works with Rune, so there we go.
Yeah, stuff works with Rune. So, how about that old Oath of Liliana?
Eh? It's...
It's OT.
It's...
So, for...
It's an edict.
Yeah, for 2 and a black. Legendary enchantment, when it comes into play, each opponent sacrifices a creature. That's good. You know, everybody sucks a dude.
Yeah.
Sadly, you don't sacrifice. At the beginning of each end step, if Planeswalker entered the battlefield under your control, this turn, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield. I'll keep the watch. Happy now. I mean, you said it best. Most of Oaths aren't that good in EDH, so... Unless you're really playing really heavy superfans.
Yeah, and even then, I don't think...
I mean, this gives you a body, I guess. To block dudes that attack your planeswalkers.
Yeah, it's like a semi-protection for walkers because it kills something and makes a protector.
Yeah, so it's a thing, kinda. If you're playing a really...
Oh, since... Yeah?
If you're playing a really big superfans deck, he put this in, why not? I mean, you get value just for playing your deck.
Oh, since we're on this part of the spoilers, there's also Nephalia Academy. A rather interesting land.
Mm-hmm.
That taps to add colorless.
The best land ever.
And it says also, if a spell or ability an opponent controls causes you to discard a card, you may reveal that card and put it on top of your library instead of putting it anywhere else.
Yes.
Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm liking
it. But where do you use it, actually? Against what?
Use it against... I have no idea.
I mean, maybe Nekusar, but still, he's going to wield the hell out of you, so...
Yeah, but still, I guess you can... I guess it's a okay-ish utility land?
Yeah, I mean... Or hey, if you're playing some colorless general, that's a thing.
Yeah, another colorless source.
Yeah.
That's a non-basic land.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's still an interesting card. There might be something that this... Oh, yeah, here's a thing. I think it completely counters Hellhole Rats.
Because that's an ever-present threat in all EDH decks ever.
Oh, it is.
When was the last time you actually seen Hellhole Rats?
Some time ago.
Why?
Because I played Hellhole Rats in...
Shiza?
I played Hellhole... No, in...
Shirei.
No. Shirei, there are 2/2.
Oh.
And Shirei is a black guy.
That's racist.
Not my fault. I played it in that Minotaur god.
Mogis, god of slaughter.
Yeah, that guy. They're sometimes fun.
They are fun.
Also, the color combination is just really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I just generally like black-red cards because mm-hmm. black and red just goes so well together.
Yeah. Speaking of fun cards, you know what's a really fun card? Fortune's Favor. For 3 and a blue, it's an instant. It's one of the effects I like the most in Magic. Just Petrifaction. Target opponent looks at the top 4 cards of your library and then separates them in a face-down pile and a face-up pile. Put one pile into your hand and another into your graveyard. Uncertainty has its own allure. Now, this is strictly worse than Petrifaction, but it's strictly cooler than Petrifaction, so...
Yeah, it's
so cool.
Some really nice mind games here mm-hmm. going on with it.
I mean, I'm going to play it in all blue decks I have, and that's a fact.
Yeah, at worst, it's a 4 mana instant speed draw 2 cards.
Yeah, or draw 3 cards, depending how they do the piles.
Yeah, mostly it's 2 cards.
Not depending on what they see.
Or Yeah.
And your opponent can do a lot of things, and it becomes even better when you play with the people you play a long time with, so you kind of know their personality. Then you have to think, will he just give me, you know, three basic lands face down and something good face up so he kind of lures me, or will he do the other thing around? There's a lot of things you can do with this as an opponent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I don't know if we talked about... Oh, no, we didn't talk about the kitty spell.
Oh, the kitty spell. Yes. Yeah.
I think we saved it. Yeah, we saved it up for you because it's your spell.
So the spell we're talking about is Harmless Offering, which is for 2 in a red, a sorcery that says target opponent gains control of target permanent you control.
And let's just ignore the tail.
It's a kitty.
Yes, it has an adorable face. Now, it'll probably mutate in like a couple of hours, but you know, still.
It's a kitty.
It's a kitty.
So, well, let's look at this for a moment and just see how similar it is to donate.
Yep, but it has one huge difference.
And that is that you can't donate cards to yourself.
Mm-hmm, which was a big thing, actually.
Your cards to yourself.
No, you take control of somebody's creature for a turn. And then you donate it to yourself. Oh, look, I have this until the end of the game.
That was in some situations you used that for, but that wasn't its main use.
It was to give
illusions of grandeur to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And kick him in the nuts.
But also, this comes really close to that thing they promised about the reserved list, because donate is on the reserved list.
Mm-hmm. But this isn't...
And that they wouldn't make, like, functional reprints of...
But this isn't.
I know it isn't, but it's really close.
Mm-hmm. I love that they're actually daring to just go really near the line. Now, if they could just man up and step through the freaking line and abolish reserved list, that would be really nice.
But, hey, I was wondering if I wanted to donate in Modern, so now I do have it.
And what are you going to do with it?
Nothing.
But it's nice to have it, right?
Yeah, there's always the possibility. I know, there is that, demonic offering, or what?
Demonic Pact.
Demonic Pact, yeah. You could give that away.
You could, yeah, after you use it for a while.
That's boring.
But still.
That's boring.
You can do it in Standard.
You give them that angel.
Oh, you can always do that.
The Gold Knight Castigator.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kill them. So you have to give them your cute little angel, and then murder them.
As you should. You know what's a card I just want to talk about? It's flavor text. Incendiary Flow for 1 in red. It's a sorcery. It deals 3 damage to target creature or player. If a creature would deal this damage would die this turn, exiled instead. It doesn't matter, really. What's your plan? Gideon asked. Are you serious? Chandra replied.
Yeah.
How many plans do I have? I burn and hate the living crap out of stuff. And that's it.
If it doesn't work, just
burn
amp it
again.
Temperature.
Yeah. It's going to melt sooner or later.
Yeah, I mean, she did kill 2 pythons.
Yeah.
But let's not talk about that.
You know what's also a couple of nice reprints? Murder! That's a nice reprint.
Yeah.
I like murder. Just kill a dude. It's dead. There you go. And the other reprint I want to just briefly mention is Ride Down. The story target blocking creature. Creatures that were blocked by that creature, this combat gain trample until the end of turn. Yes. I just love that card. It's silly.
It's a really nice abuse of the rules.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you noticed I like abusing them.
Everybody does.
Yeah. You know what's really a card we need to talk about? Tamio, the field researcher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For one green, white, and a blue, she's the planeswalker Tamio because, duh. She comes into play with 4 loyalty counters, which most likely is going to be 8 because you're playing some stupid enchantment. For +1, choose up to 2 target creatures. Until your next turn, whenever either of those creatures deal combat damage, you draw a card. You can do that to opponent's creatures, just letting you know. -2, tap up to 2 target null and permanents. They don't untap during their controller's next untap step. And for -7, draw 3 cards, Omniscience. Basically, yeah. You get an emblem that says, you may cast non-land cards from your hand without paying their mana cost. Like, because that's fair.
I'm so especially glad... after an Ancestral Recall.
Yeah. I'm so glad they didn't let Liliana get her emblem after doubling Seasoning. Good thing that Tamiya has that.
Well, it's fair. Said no one ever.
Nope. Yeah, friendships are going to be broken because of this card.
Friendships are already... Well, if they weren't broken enough because of Planeswalkers and doubling Seasons, then this isn't really...
Yeah, but Omniscience. And you just be a dick, and with her emblem you cast Omniscience.
just add insult to injury.
Yeah, just because you can. I mean, if you destroy my emblem somehow because you can't, ha ha ha, here's still Disenchantment. Have fun.
Yeah, I was thinking about... Actually, was almost... I almost figured a way to destroy them, but alas, emblems aren't cards.
Nope.
I was thinking about... you can gift somebody... you can make your custom emblems and then give them to a Super Friends player. They're like, oh, happy, yay, I get to play with emblems. And they play their... silver-bordered emblems that you custom-made for them, and then you bust out your ass-whooping, and you destroy them.
Alas, that's not a thing.
It destroys.
I mean, if you're playing ass-whooping and everybody's okay with that, I think you should be able to do it by the rules, by unrules.
Yeah, but there was a... It's so bad. It's such a shame those aren't cards.
Yeah. I mean, if your local group agrees with it, they are cards.
Yeah, but they're not going to allow you to play ass-whooping.
If your playgroup is okay with you playing with uncards. There are groups that actually allow that.
I know.
There's groups that play Frankie Peanuts as a general, so...
Yeah, but that's like a whole different conversation.
I think we should mention just a couple of more cards and then end the show, because I gotta work in like 4 hours and I need to sleep, so...
Oh, yeah. So, I'm just going to say that I really like the Emerge mechanic, because cost reduction is fair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, you're sacrificing a creature to get a creature 5 turns earlier.
Yeah, depending on what you sack, of course.
Especially when you combo it with Eldritch Evolution. If I believe you covered that, right?
Yes, we did. It's such a nice card.
But then that's about it, right?
We also have the Lupine prototype, a.k.a. Dreadnought. Lupine Dreadnought isn't anything too special. It can't attack or block unless the player has no cards in hand, and it costs 2 mana, so there you go.
And but it's a 5-5.
It's a wolf construct, that's the best thing. Basically, it's a Dreadnought.
Yeah, even in death, it still serves.
Yes. Also card which could mention because it's a nice card is a Grim Flayer, which I really wish was a legendary, honestly. For blue and a green, it's a 2-2. He has trample. Whenever he deals combat damage to a player, look at the top 3 cards. Put any number of them into your graveyard and rest on top of your library in any order, and for Delirium he gets a +2/+2. He basically filters your deck however you want it. When he deals damage.
And he's almost a 2-mana 4-4 trample.
Yeah, quite often he will be.
Yeah, it's a cool card.
And also a card I really love is Campaign of Vengeance. For 3 and a white-black enchantment, whenever a creature you control attacks, the defending player loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. And
yeah, it's a finisher for some mass token strategies.
Combine that with Brutal Hordechief and you have a lot of fun.
Okay, yeah, I guess.
And then assemble the Legion.
Okay, you can stop now.
I mean, that's the thing that's going to happen in a lot of token Alesh decks. Sadly, I'm not playing a token version, but you know.
It could happen.
Oh, one card that we forgot to mention. Selfless Soul, speaking of Alesha. Creature Spirit for 1 and a white. It's a 2-1. It has flying. Sacrifice Selfless Soul. Creatures you control gain indestructible until the end of turn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my friend was really excited for this card because Rattle Chains is a thing.
That's a good card.
So yeah, with Rattle Chains, it's basically a 4 mana instant speed giving everything indestructible.
That's not a bad combo trick.
No, not at all. It's also really good against some Avacyns that are flipping out.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Wrath of God and things like that.
So I just wanted to also mention that I was totally right about that Writhing Township not being a land.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also totally wrong about it not being a land.
I mean, you're right half of the time, you're wrong half of the time.
I mean, I just didn't expect this kind of mechanic. I mean, I know there were rumors about it.
But then they were just rumors, so...
I just didn't. It was just unexpected.
I mean, there are rumors that our paycheck is about soon to come, and that's still rumors, so... You can never trust things too much.
Yeah, there's also a rumor that they really wanted Soul Separator not to sacrifice itself, but they don't like people having fun.
Yeah, boo, fun,
they
boo.
Hate us.
Boo wizards, boo. Well,
it's such a shoddy machinery if it's usable just once.
Yeah. I mean, Ludovic isn't really good with doing things that actually last for longer than a turn, it seems.
At least Teacher Geralt thinks he's a genius.
I mean, Ludovic should have just gotten an engineering degree. Maybe then his machines would be a bit better.
Do you think there's still a possibility that we can get him in this set?
Doubt it. I really doubt it.
I mean, this is probably the last time we'll be able to.
Well, not really. You always have commander sets, and Ludovic is kind of a popular dude.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah, so
People think he's a cool guy.
We actually don't know.
Yeah.
But we didn't think we were going to ever see Giza and Geralt, and then they came in commander precon, and now, of course.
As one card.
Yeah, which actually surprised me.
It's like Tibur and Lumia.
But this is actually good.
Are you calling Tibur and Lumia not good?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, they're not bad, but they're just that. They're not good. They do fun things when you have Bezel's Color on them, but that's about it.
Pretty much.
Well, anything else you gotta add about the spoilers or anything else?
No, I'm actually looking forward to this set. It has a lot of fun cards.
That's what I wanted to say. Story may be shoddy as all hell, and let's not mention that. But as a set, I'm really excited for it. It has a lot of good cards. It's really Innistrad-y. But yet again, it's not.
And it's new.
Yeah, and it has a lot of fun mechanics, a lot of fun cards.
And lots of things to experiment with.
Which will.
Especially the permeating mass. Oh, man.
All hail permeating mass. Well, I think that's it. This has been lucky episode 13, I think.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
I
think after this episode we have done our Triska Decaphobia, right? And
yep.
That's about it. This is Igor.
This is Niksha.
And as always, the Emperor protects, and even in Limited we still serve.
I'm just going to agree with this for now.
Shuggoth on the roof. Sounds crazy. No, certifiably insane. But here in our little village of Arkham, Massachusetts, you might say every one of us has a Shuggoth on the roof. And I'm not speaking metaphorically. It's not easy having a malevolent, shapeless monster like that hanging over your head. But there it is. Arkham is the home of many strange things. A big monster like that on such a pointed roof, you may ask, how does it stay up there if it's so difficult? That, I can tell you in one word. Tentacles!
Tentacles! Tentacles!
Here in Arkham, tentacles get into everything eventually. Changeless legend haunted Arkham, where the clustering gamble roofs sway and sag over attics, where witches hid from the king's men in the dark olden days of the province. Well, the king is gone, but the witches are still here. And the cultists, and the monsters, and regular folks just try not to notice. We try not to think about the scariest one of all, the gigantic half-dragon, half-octopus, half-humanoid, great old one himself, Cthulhu, waiting to return from his city beneath the sea! Who day and night must slumber in relay, wave his tentacles, having nasty dreams, and who has the might as master of relay to drive humanity insane? Cthulhu! Cthulhu! Tentacles! Cthulhu! Cthulhu! Tentacles!
Who must bow and hear and scrape and slave all day to raise the lay at Cthulhu's way? Who must live in ignorance until the day they find they've read too many nasty books? The cultists! The cultists! Tentacles!
Night must slumber in the day, wave his tentacles, having nasty dreams, and see how he might have mastered the lane to drive humanity insane. Cthulhu!
Tentacles!
Cthulhu!
Tentacles!
We have the shoe factory and the brickworks and a wonderful insane asylum we're all mighty proud of. But the heart of the town is its Miskatonic University. It may not be the biggest school in New England, but there's no finer place in the world to study medieval metaphysics. It's my honor to be its head librarian. You see, many folks from the university, as you walk through Arkham Street, and in our small community, we always have had some special types as well. For instance, Herbert West, the mad scientist.
Those small-minded doctors have needlessly and irrationally delayed me in supremely great work. The reanimation of dead tissue is within my grasp.
Herbert, your perverse experiments are the vagary of a demented maniac and cannot be allowed to continue. Your request for the use of human cadavers is completely denied.
I warn you, Dr. Halsey, you regret this decision.
And Randolph Carter, the writer with the weird dreams who keeps showing up everywhere.
I repeat to you, gentlemen, that your inquisition is fruitless. Question me forever if you want. I do not know what has become of Harley Warren.
Mr. Carter, there's a telephone call for you.
And Obed Marsh, the cursed old man from nearby Innsmouth.
What are you looking at? What, you think I'm ugly? Stop it! I'll be showing ye ugly.
There are others in Arkham. Some live here, some just visit. The head of a local cult. Some kind of horrible monster. I do not even want to know what that is. We normal folks just look the other way and try not to lose our minds. And among ourselves, we get along just fine. Well, of course, there are some who think that the magical Elder sign is shaped like a star, and some who think it's shaped more like a tree. But that is all settled now. Now we just try to...
It's shaped like a star with a little flame inside it.
No, it's like a tree. It's got branches coming off it.
I'm telling you, it's a star.
Use the star one and you'll be fighting off the star, old ones with your bare hands.
Star, it's a tree! Star! Star! Tree, star! Star! Tree!
Tentacles! Like I said, you cannot live in Arkham without coping with the Shuggoth on the roof.